Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that people face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
Happy Monday, everyone. Thanks for joining me on Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Well, welcome to the last month of the year. Now, you know, we're in the home stretch, and we're hoping and praying that next year will be better for us and those that we care about. Now, some of the things that will happen may be the result of our age or genetics, but many things are due to the choices we make and the lifestyles we choose to adapt. And that's what our topic of discussion will be today, lifestyle. Now, whether that's the food you eat, the way your body's working, the career you've chosen, or the way you plan to live out the rest of your life, it's all about lifestyle habits. Now, believe it or not, we all experience stress, and there is both positive and negative stressors in our life. Our stress comes in many different areas, and managing it effectively will lead to a more balanced and easy lifestyle to live with. Healthy lifestyle habits can help to reverse your responses to stress, release your frustration, and even add years to your life and life to your years. Of course, this also begins with making some changes in your life, and we all know how great that is to deal with. Sometimes you just don't know where to stop, and some of us decide to change everything at the same time, and that leads to, well, you guessed it, more stress. Now, many years ago, I was going through a very stressful time. I knew that my life was unraveling, and I wasn't being kind to my body, my mind, my children, or myself. When my mom passed away, I decided to make some major changes in my life, all at the same time. So within a few months, not only did I bury my mom, I divorced my husband, I packed up my daughter to go away to college, I moved to a new home with my son, and I started a new business. Everyone said I was crazy and asked, why didn't I just start with one or two things? I wanted my life to be less stressful, so for me, getting everything done at the same time made sense, so I didn't have to worry about it all the time until it was working once again. I equated it to having a baby and having a second one in 9 months, or having twins and doing it all at the same time. Now, this worked for me and my lifestyle, even though at that point, I don't even know if I had a lifestyle. Now, remember, lifestyle habits have many pieces to them. At this point, I needed to first develop some changes in my life to keep me physically healthy and give me a less stressed lifestyle. So I had to look at three things. The first, I had to eat a more healthy diet. I wasn't eating properly, and that was definitely affecting not only my body, but my mind. I didn't like the way I looked, and people thought I wasn't looking as healthy as I had been. I looked like a waif, and I was wasting away. Now, for me, stress causes me to stop eating. I wasn't an emotional overeater. I went into the reverse. It definitely took a hit on my self-esteem, and the long-term effects on my body was not the way I wanted to go. So I fixed my diet, and the results were becoming evident. The second, if I wasn't eating, I certainly wasn't exercising. Doing some kind of regular exercise definitely helped to manage my stress. I wasn't a marathon runner, but I certainly was a regular walker, and I started to feel better. I actually looked forward to my hour of just me time, and I tended to solve the problems of the world because that was much easier than solving the problems I was facing. And third, well, if I wasn't eating or exercising, strike three, I wasn't sleeping either. And we definitely underestimate the importance of getting enough sleep. As an adult, we don't have the luxury of sleeping 12 hours and then napping. But you have to decide that you will go to sleep earlier and get a solid 6 to 8 hours if possible. I was surviving on 4 hours maximum, and I can tell you my body suffered greatly. I had to make changes, and I had to make them now. So that was the beginning of my quest to get me to a healthy lifestyle. But remember, I also mentioned that I changed my business, and you guessed it. Stressors started popping up everywhere. I was a single mom raising 2 children, with 1 in college and 1 in private school. Can you just imagine the expenses that were hanging over my head? And I bet you're saying, of course, that's why you didn't eat, sleep, or exercise. Now, I needed the next part of my lifestyle plan to turn into habits. But first, I had to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I searched the classified ads, and I found something in my field of expertise. I'm not even sure what that would be, but I knew I was great in sales, so that was the place to begin. There were lots of positions to look at, but I wanted something that would allow me to grow, something that gave me flexibility, and something that would give me some financial stability for my family and for now and into the future. I had to be open to explore opportunities that may be in industries I had never considered, and that's exactly what I did. I started as an independent contractor earning straight commission in insurance. Talk about financial stability. Straight commission? But I was open to the possibilities and decided that rather going in with wishing and hoping, I would need to have a strategy to take advantage of this new opportunity. I figured it was this or a lottery ticket. And at that point, I wasn't sure which had a better outcome, but I was willing to work hard and I had control over the outcome. So let me share some of the things you need to put into place to create a healthy lifestyle and business. First, be aware of the environment around you. Who are the people that are creating opportunities and who are the ones that are complaining? Who can touch you and teach you and who can take you down? Who are blessings and who are lessons? So pay attention to everything and you'll become a resource, a mentor, and a natural leader. Second, think of your work as a career, not a job. Tell everyone what you do and how you can help them do what they need to do. What was it that makes you stand out and provide solutions? Trust me, insurance wasn't glamorous or exciting. However, working with people and giving them peace of mind was exhilarating. Showing that you're an expert in your field and being recognized was just what the doctor ordered for me. Third, be aware of the impact you're making. Coming into an industry that was so heavily male-dominated and using my relationship-building skills was so natural to me that I had no idea of the impact I was making to my male counterparts, as well as to their recruiting efforts. They started recruiting women and would reach out to me to speak to them about the industry. They would bring me in to help train and motivate them, and I soon became the company mentor and coach of the country. Fourth, look at everything as an opportunity. When you do the right things and have integrity, opportunities appear in front of you. Now, while I may have been promoted because I was female first, my numbers spoke for themselves, and the talent I brought to the table was obvious to everyone. And did I mention that the financial stability I was searching for came as a byproduct of the opportunities right in front of me? And finally, your past becomes your future. What I did for almost two decades became the jumping-off point for selling in a skirt. I lived the life of a woman in a male-dominated industry and created a lifestyle that worked for me and my family. I share my strategies with women everywhere, how to sell authentically and how to create the work-life balance so you're more effective and productive, whether you're at home or working in your business. Trust me, it wasn't all rosy and it was a lot of work, but remember, if it's too easy, you're not learning, and if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. The bottom line was that everything was topsy-turvy, but with one constant core was my core values. I never wavered, even though they might have rotated as a position of importance. I also had goals I needed to reach to create stability for me and my family. I was the provider financially, and I was the provider emotionally. My goals and my core values had to be in alignment, and that was my driving force to create my lifestyle. When we come back, you'll hear from my first guest, who is an expert at creating the financial lifestyle you not only want, but need to create for the future. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Altenburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now remember, you can join our discussion by calling in to 347-989-1363 and press 1 and you'll get right onto our show. Okay, so let's bring in my first guest, Chandra Winford. Chandra is the Chief Financial Officer for a worldwide ministry in Georgia. Under her direction, the ministry has overcome a $10 million deficit in a little over a year. She's best known for her unparalleled ability to push corporate entities into the black. Her greatest desire is to use her financial talents to assist individuals, corporations, and small businesses in making better financial decisions. Chandra has more than 15 years' experience as a senior financial analyst. Her unique perspective on how to manage and handle finances are a result of her diverse training and analytical skill set. Having worked with numerous Fortune 100 corporations, including Hewlett-Packard, Delta Airlines, IBM, and McGraw-Hill companies, she's equipped with practical knowledge it takes to help individuals and companies grow and succeed financially. Welcome to the show, Chandra. Very excited to have you on today to give us some clear steps for our financial future.
Hi, thank you. I'm excited to be on the show.
Awesome. Okay, so you heard the topic of the day is lifestyle habits. And as I mentioned, there are personal and professional lifestyle habits that we need to incorporate into our lives. In your opinion, how important is it for us to have some kind of lifestyle habits for our financial future?
It's very important. Like with anything, when it comes to finances, you have to have a plan. The same way you have a plan when it comes to your career, you have to have a plan when it comes to your money, because if you don't have a plan, you'll find yourself, you know, in a bad situation or not in a good situation when things happen. And I think a lot of times we as people believe everything, all conditions will always be good and nothing bad will ever happen. But unfortunately, life happens. And so as in the area of finances, you should prepare for the unexpected in the financial arena, because it's not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen, and how you survive is going to be based upon your preparedness. So it's very important to have to plan your finances.
Okay, so before we went on air, you and I were having a little conversation about women and money, and we were both laughing because we know that there's a real issue with women. So what's the deal about this? Why do women seem to have these issues with money?
I think women like to spend money, but they don't want to plan money. They don't want to be accountable for money. I do a financial boot camp with women, and it's interesting because we did a little exercise where they had some extra money and kind of how they were going to spend it. And in the exercise, they were all married. But when they gave me their scenario, I said, did anybody consult your husband? And they all looked at me and was like, oh, we forgot about him. So it was kind of funny. It was like, you know, the women get the money and they just want to spend without consulting the husband or without sitting down and saying, okay, you know, what bills do I have? It's like, this is extra money. I can go shopping. I can do all the things that I wanted to do versus saying, okay, is there something I can do to maybe help my financial situation be a little better or stable versus just spending the extra money when it comes in?
Okay. So we all also know that words matter. And when you tell a woman that she needs to be on a budget, the conversation generally goes downhill from there, because you don't need to use a budget. You actually use spending plan, which I love that. So tell us how this creates the situation on a more positive note.
Yes. So a lot of people look at the word budget as being restrictive. And so in my book, I use spending plan because women like to spend. So it's like we're going to create your spending plan, how you're going to spend your money. So you're not being as restrictive, but we are saying we are going to have a plan of how we're going to spend our money. And so in that plan, I like for people to create their spending plan according to their lifestyle. I think a lot of financial people, you know, they tell you 20% for this, 15% for that. And I don't necessarily agree with that, because everybody's lifestyle is different. And if one person feels like they want to spend more money on their house than they do on their car because that's not as important, I think that's cool, that's fine, that's okay, as long as you're living within the income that comes into your household and your priority items are being met and you're not using credit, you know, every day in order to survive. So as long as, you know, you're living within your means, I think that that's okay. And so I do use the word spending plan, so people are a little more apt to that. But then I do say, hey, your budget is customized to you, that you should, you know, make it according to your lifestyle. If you're the type of person that has to have your morning coffee, then include that in your budget. Because if you don't, you're going to do it anyway, and then, you know, you're not going to want to keep it because it's not realistic. So I think if you make your budget realistic, then, you know, you'll be more willing to keep it. And also one of the other things that when I counsel people, you know, when they sit down and we do the thing where they say how much they spend, I say, okay, let's look at your debit card. And most people are shocked because when you say, how much do you spend eating out or, you know, going to the movies and activities, and they always underestimate. And then when we go to the debit card, where it shows the printout of what they spent the last month on their debit card, is always more money. And they're like, oh, my God, I didn't realize I spent that much eating out. Well, I didn't realize I spent that much, you know, entertainment or things of that sort. So it's being realistic in your budget to make it work for you, or in your spending plan to make it work for you and your lifestyle is what I teach.
So basically, they paint a picture of their lifestyle that they want to be in, and yet their finances have a different crayon box that they're really living in. So, you know, I guess it must be a little difficult. You have to really, you know, come down on some of your clients and say, hang on, ladies, because you really want to live like this, but you don't have the funds to get there. So how do you really, like, remind them that they don't have the funds either coming in or saved up or anything else to live the lifestyle that a lot of us want to live, even though we can't?
Right. And so my goal is put it on paper. So I make them sit down and put it on paper. And like I said, when we do the exercise, the key is I ask them originally, well, how much do you think you're spending eating out? How much do you think, you know, you're spending on entertainment? But when we go look at the actual results and it's more, it's like, okay, you said you were spending this, but this is what you're really spending. So that shows them you got to kind of monitor that because you're spending more than what you think you're spending. And then also when we put it down on paper, a lot of times we realize that, okay, you know, you're spending more than you have coming in. And so when we see that, it's like if you're going to continue this lifestyle, there's no issue with that. We just need to make some adjustments to say, how are we going to get there? Where are you going to make the adjustments in order to line up, you know? And then, you know, I kind of help people by prioritizing, okay, what are the priorities? What are some things that you're doing that, you know, may necessarily not be priorities, and not necessarily to say, hey, that you can't do it, but you may have to delay it until you can work out some other things in your finances. So my thing is, if you can't do it right now, then it's not necessarily a no, it's a delay. So, you know, if you wanted to have that vacation, but, you know, when you figure out how much that vacation costs versus, you know, the additional funds that you have set aside for that and you don't have enough, then it's like, okay, well, let's plan it for next summer. And then, you know, let's take 6 months and set aside $100, you know, a week or whatever it is, or every time you get paid, so that when that vacation comes, you will, you know, when 6 months come this summer, you know, or whenever it is, you'll have the funds to be able to do it. So it's showing them on paper what it really looks like, and then also asking them and then saying, okay, let's go back and let's look at your checkbook, let's look at your debit card statement and see what you're saying, if that's really what's happening, or is there something you're missing, you know, in your mind that you're doing, or, you know, more than what you think you are.
Okay, so a lot of times we also have children that go to college, and we might be or they might be saddled with some college debt as well that adds into that wonderful budget spending plan. So any thoughts on how to get rid of it effectively? So not only doesn't it ruin your credit, but also it gets off your plate, because a lot of times what you take out as a parent's loan or college loan or whatever, you end up paying back, you know, 50 times more than you actually took out. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, student loans, I mean, I'm still paying mine now. It's like, I've been on school avenue.
I hear you.
And I think the thing about student loans, which is, you know, they keep the payment so low that you're mostly paying interest and not principal. So the key with student loans is to definitely pay more than the minimum if you're trying to pay it off and to get it out of the way, because, you know, you're thinking, okay, this low payment's only $50 a month, but when you look at it, is barely touching the principal, is mostly going to interest. And so that's really what prolongs a lot of the student loans. So, you know, when you get in a position of where you can start paying down the principal balance, you know, that's the best way to eliminate the student loans and not just make the minimum payment that they require of you, because, you know, you'll find yourself 10 years later still paying for a loan because you've been out of school over 10 years now and you still haven't, you know, paid that loan off. And then they usually, you know, they usually work with you in terms of flexibility. You know, if you say, hey, I'm having a financial crisis, they'll let you defer. And so, you know, those things, when you defer, the interest doesn't stop. So the interest continues even though they're allowing you to defer. So when you go back to pay it, once again, you're still paying more interest than you're paying principal, and you're just prolonging it. So I would say, you know, pay down the principal, not just a minimum payment or more than a minimum payment, so you can aggressively be cutting down the principal, because the payment that they give you is not really touching much of your principal.
Right. So would it be like a mortgage, like if you made it one extra payment a year, that it would, okay. So that's a good idea as well.
Either that or, you know, pay an extra $50 a month that goes straight to principal, you know, or $100 a month, you know, whatever you can afford to kind of knock down the principal quicker.
Okay. So you also talk about leaving a financial legacy for your children. So how would somebody begin to do that?
Yes. So what happens is children are a product of their household, what they see. Unfortunately, in our education system, they don't teach us at school, you know, how to handle money, you know, credit cards or anything of that sort. So what happens is children learn from what they see from their parents. And a lot of households don't discuss money with the kids because they feel like, you know, that's a grown-up discussion. The kids don't need to know. But unfortunately, what happens is they grow up and they don't know. They just kind of imitate or do what they saw in their household. So if they saw you with the credit card, they're going to get the credit card. There's nothing wrong with my mom and them. You know, I saw them. So the way to leave a financial legacy for your children is, one, to educate yourself in the area of finances, and then start to bring your children into the conversation. And I'm not saying that they have to know the whole financial picture, but start some type of financial education in your house to make children, you know, aware of, you know, when they ask for stuff, not, no, you just can't have it, you know. But explain to them, you know, why they can't have it. You know, mommy has a budget, you know, it's not in my budget. You know, it's something if you want to have, then, you know, you can do something to help get some money to contribute, or, you know, we're going to save for it, or we have goals. But start to teach them about saving, start to teach them about handling finances, because if not, what will happen is, you know, they'll just grow up not having any training and then just get into the world, make bad decisions, end up in debt, you know, and don't know how to get out because no one has educated them, unless, you know, at a certain point they finally get to the point where they say, okay, I'm tired of being in debt, I want to get out, and they go into education themselves. So the best way to leave a legacy, a financial legacy for your children, is education. Educating yourself first, and then also educating them, and then allowing them to see, you know, you go through some financial situations and how, you know, how you overcome and how you come out. So it's a learning process. And so that way, you know, because it's kind of taboo, you know, you don't talk about finances with the kids, but kids need to know, because it's not when they get grown. You know, they'll just make decisions based upon what they saw and, make, you know, might not know the whole story behind, you know, your financial situation and why you made some of the decisions you made.
Right. And, you know, and maybe somebody should talk to some of the banks that are on the college campuses that hand out credit cards, you know, and not explain that you actually have to pay it back, you know, that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so
it's not free money.
That's right. Okay, so you wrote a great book called Money Does Matter, and So Does How You Handle It. So what made you sit down and write it, and how has it helped women?
Yes. So what made me sit down and write the book is because of my background in accounting and finances, people would always come up to me and say, hey, can you help me with my finances? Can you help me with a budget? And at a certain point, I was like, okay, I can't sit down and help every single individual. So I felt like a book was a great way for me to put the information out there for anybody who says, hey, I need help with my finances, but I don't know how to get started. You know, I'm in this situation. And so that was why I created the book. And my goal when I created the book was to make it simple so the average person could pick it up, read it, and, you know, be able to make a change in the area of their finances, because a lot of those financial books, you know, use big words and people don't really understand what they're saying. And so my goal was to make it simple. So I made sure I had non-financial people read it and give me feedback to make sure that the book is simple and the average person who says, I need help, can read it, pick it up, and, you know, get some insight from it and be able to make some changes to make better financial decisions. In the book, I talk about my situation, how I found myself in over $30,000 worth of credit card debt and how I came out of it and some of the things that I had to realize. You know, being a finance person, I still found myself in a bad situation when I lost my job and things of that sort because I didn't have the reserve. So I talk about making sure you have those reserves for the unexpected. I also talk about protecting your credit, about looking at your credit report, cleaning up your credit and things of that sort. I talk about your spending plan, how to create one. When you find out that you're spending more than you have coming in, some areas potentially that you can look at and strategies to make adjustments.
Okay, and you also have a worksheet packet. So how does that add to the experience?
So the worksheet packet is an Excel worksheet. So in the book, it's just a hard copy, but online on my website, if you click on it, I'll send you an Excel sheet where you can just input your numbers, and the calculations are already in there to, once you put in the numbers, to, you know, give you the numbers so you don't have to worry about formulas and things of that sort. So all the formulas are already in the Excel spreadsheets if you go through my website and get the worksheet.
Yeah, so, and, you know, once you have the stuff in black and white and the numbers are in front of you, there's no lying. It's right there. You know,
yes.
That's the scary part. Okay, so I know you have a 12-week financial boot camp that you started, and it's really to transform people's lives from paycheck to paycheck to actually empowering them to make smart financial decisions. Can you give us some insight into the boot camp and when the next one starts and, you know, how people can get more information about it?
Yes. So the 12-week boot camp is a boot camp where I walk you through 12 weeks of, you know, financial progress. And most people say, why 12 weeks? Well, it takes 30 days to form a habit or to change a bad habit. So I want it to be long enough so, you know, you're changing habits and we're monitoring that and we're making adjustments and changes and strategies to make sure that you're on track. In that 12 weeks, we start off by just saying, where did you learn what you learned about money? And then what habits do you have that we could potentially change? Then we sit down and we create your spending plan. Then we make adjustments. I tell you to live it for a week and then come back and tell me your stories. You know, I give different scenarios where I say, hey, you got extra income. Let's talk about strategies of how to handle it when that happens. And then also we do giving back because I believe that we should give back to the community. So we do a giving back exercise. We look at your credit report, how to understand it, how to read it, how to make changes. In January, if you go to my website, I plan to have it live online. So I'm doing it right now live in person here in Georgia. But in January, I'm going to take the same curriculum and offer it online. So through my website, you'll be able to register probably around mid-January for the online course. So the next 12 weeks is going to be online starting probably mid-January.
Okay, and the website where they can find that?
www.moneymattercw.com.
Okay, so and we have that posted everywhere on social media. So what would you want our listeners to leave with them for today? Where could they take away from this and say, okay, I can make at least one step closer to my smart, healthy lifestyle habits for financial purposes?
I say the one step that I would tell people to take away is if you haven't, to sit down and to write down the income you have coming in and also the expenses you have coming out, and not just in your head, but balancing against your checkbook and also looking at your debit card of where you're really spending money so you can truly see if you're living within the income you have coming into your household.
Okay, so when they're buying 12 cups of coffee every single day, they could probably get rid of half of them, and then they can come to your boot camp.
Exactly, and learn the rest.
That's just a little thought on my part, that's all. Okay, so any last thoughts you want to say?
Only last thing is education is the key. If you don't know, you know, getting involved, reading my book or other people's books, just getting information is the key and not being unaware.
Okay, great. Well, Shonda, this has been so much fun and so informative and enlightening, and I thank you for joining me today, and I can't wait to hear more from you.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed being on the show.
Thank you so much, and stay warm in Georgia.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. And we're going to take a break to make sure we thank our sponsors, The Report for Women. It's an important resource for women in business. Check them out at www.thereportforwomen.com. So here's what you need to do. You subscribe for free, save it in your favorite places, and the report will automatically update on a regular basis. Now remember, if you're ready to watch your business get some great buzz, become one of our sponsors. Go to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com and click on the sponsor tab and watch your business soar. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now remember, I remind you all the time to get some access with us. The easiest way to do that is to connect with us on social media. So simply like us on Facebook at Selling in a Skirt and Tough Talk Radio. You can be my friend on Facebook at Judy Hoberman. And of course, follow me on Twitter at Selling in a Skirt. You can also use our hashtags, Selling in a Skirt and Skirt Wisdom. And don't forget, you can listen to all of my shows on iTunes simply by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com. It's very cool, and I'm loving that. Okay, so let's bring on my next amazing guest, Robin Srigley. Robin is the Hormone Diva, a nutrition and lifestyle coaching expert. Robin helps women replace anxiety with joy to open possibility in their lives and have a positive impact on the next generation. She's a certified personal training specialist and certified nutritional practitioner. Robin's success with her clients comes from expert knowledge in her specialty and her personal diagnosis of polycystic ovarian syndrome. She specializes in helping women facing a variety of hormonal problems such as PMS, PCOS, endometriosis, and so much more. She strives to help women achieve happy, joyous lives filled with health and self-love. So welcome to the show, Robin. I'm excited to share the mic with you for the next half of the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is going to be fun, so I'm going to dive right in because I don't want to miss one second with you. Now, we're talking about lifestyle habits, and so many things have to do with how you live your life. What are your thoughts about creating a healthy lifestyle?
Well, a healthy lifestyle, for some people, they might think, well, I need to eat healthy, I need to eat more vegetables and low-fat meats and all of this stuff, but it's really more than just what you're putting into your body as food. A healthy lifestyle is diet, but it's also activity or movement. So are you up and moving in your day? Are you doing lots of exercise, all of that stuff, as well as taking into account your mental or emotional state, so doing things for relaxation, to reduce your stress, and to really bring up your confidence is important as well. And when you sort of integrate these three areas, then you have a lot more success with your long-term goals.
Okay, so you know as well as I do that the majority of women are not happy with their body image. Even if I think that you look fantastic, you're thinking, oh, I don't like my thighs, I don't like my this, I don't like my that. And it can wreak havoc on your self-esteem and your confidence. Mm-hmm. Is this part of the lifestyle we live in, and how do we change that thought process?
Absolutely. It's definitely part of sort of the society that we're living in, especially in the Western countries, with the media and magazines and TV and everything telling us how women should look, how they should act, how they should feel about themselves. And so it leads to many of us having low or no confidence whatsoever, and we're always comparing ourselves to other women. So whether it's a body part or that woman has a better job than me or makes more money or has better kids or whatever it might be, we're always comparing. So that's definitely something that we sort of have to catch ourselves with if we're comparing ourselves, because we don't know, you know, everything that's going on in that other woman's life. She might be having her own issues, and I'm sure she's probably comparing herself to you as well. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something to think about and try and work towards feeling better about yourself. And of course, it doesn't happen overnight, and there's lots of different types of exercises and practices that you can do to really bring up that self-confidence.
Okay, so let's take the next step into hormones, because they're considered to be the culprit and the savior for women. They cause so many things and they prevent so many other things. So you're the expert in this. Why are hormones so important to the vitality of women?
Well, one thing that we don't realize about hormones is that they're not just being created for reproductive purposes. We actually have hundreds of different hormones that are basically running our bodies 24/7. And if we don't pay attention to what's happening inside our body, then things that are happening externally in our lives are going to be affected for better or for worse. For example, with myself, I have PCOS, as you mentioned before, which is a hormonal disorder. And when I was first diagnosed with this, my whole life was basically in shambles. I was not feeling good about myself. I was not motivated. I was feeling depressed, fatigued. I was having all this weight gain. I just couldn't control myself in certain aspects, as, you know, me snapping at people and things like that as an example. So until I realized and paid attention to what my body was doing on the inside, I wasn't able to control the things that I was doing in my life on the outside. So there's a definite connection there that we can't ignore. It's almost like, as an example, when you're nervous, you might get sweaty palms, or you might get that butterflies in the stomach kind of feeling. And that's something that your mind is perceiving as stress, and your body is showing the outcome, basically. So you can't deny that mind-body connection that exists within us. And it's very important to take care of the body and all of the processes that are going in there, whether it's through exercise, supplementation, healthy diet, feeling good about ourselves, all of that to really repair what's going on internally in our physical body as well as in our minds.
So do you think that taking hormones is what every woman should be doing, or are there instances where they shouldn't be doing it, or is it, you know, like, is it across the board like cookie cutter? Okay, you get to this age or you get to this diagnosis, you need to take hormones.
generally, I don't like when doctors are prescribing like bioidentical or hormone replacement therapy, unless there's a serious condition where the woman isn't able to balance herself out, which of course happens from time to time. But generally what happens when women are taking these synthetic hormones is that their bodies sort of go into latency and really are doing nothing to balance themselves out and will stop producing some of these hormones altogether. So it's important rather to take some other methods to balance, if you can, of course, through supplementation, specific diet changes, activity. There's a whole ton of things that can be done to prevent that. Generally, with those kind of synthetic hormones, it's usually women who are entering menopause that are getting those from their doctors for hot flashes and weight gain and insomnia and things like that. But that can be easily remedied with just some, you know, medicinal herbs, vitamins and minerals and things like that. You just have to be open to your options.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little story because I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm not sure if you were on yet, I went through some major ordeals and I created a lot of stress on myself and I tried to complete everything at the same time. And of course, you know, there's a lot of stressors in your body. One thing I didn't mention was that when my mother passed away, it was extremely quickly and my entire body shut down. And my gynecologist was surprised how I went from a 100% normal 28-day cycle to postmenopausal in record speed. I didn't have any side effects. I had no indication. And he immediately wanted to get me on a protocol of hormone replacement because I was 45. And I fought him for many reasons. And one of them was there was no education. There was nothing. It was just you need to do this. And here, and you know, and if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. So what would you have said to, you know, somebody that came to you with that story?
Well, it's very difficult when you're entering these different phases of our lives. And the important thing is to be patient. That's really what I talk a lot about with my clients because, you know, we all want a magic pill. We all want to feel better as quickly as possible. But when we do that in with prescription medications, that often leads us to even further imbalances. So it was good that you took a stand for your own body because we often don't because we sort of trust what these doctors are telling us because, of course, they've got tons of education and experience and things, but they're not really addressing the root cause of the problem, which is really important. So, you know, practicing patience and then figuring out what is causing your symptoms. So for you, obviously a really stressful event in your life sort of brought this on. So not only would we, you know, work on balancing your hormones, but also working on that stress and what caused it so that your body's feeling balanced again.
I totally agree. Okay, so you have a platform of women listening to you right now. So what kind of healthy lifestyle habits would you encourage them to begin with so they can lead the most productive and amazing lives? And I know you don't know the women, and I know you don't know the background, but let's just say, you know, generically, what would you tell women, what can they start with to try to create some kind of healthy lifestyle if they're not already?
Mm-hmm. So just some basic things that you can try right away. In regards to diet, my recommendation is to start simply by meal planning. This will have you eating out a lot less, so you're not going to be having as much of the processed foods, the fast food kind of stuff, if you're planning out your meals and prepping ahead of time. So it doesn't matter what you're eating, whether you are on a specific low-fat diet or whether you're on a high-fat diet or high-carb, low-carb, whatever you're doing, as long as you're planning ahead of time so that you can fit everything in, you're not going to feel overwhelmed, and eating healthily isn't going to be just that extra stress on top of everything else. And besides diet, I would recommend that everybody start moving. So not necessarily you know, where you're going to the gym an hour for three times a week or whatever, but something that gets you up and moving, whether you're taking a dance break at work, whether you're getting up during commercials to climb the stairs in your house when you're watching TV in the evening, or taking a bike ride or a nice walk out in nature, just finding something that gets you moving that doesn't feel like a chore. And that's the big thing, is that you have to find things that, with diet and exercise, that make you feel good and make you want to do it. And then the last thing I would recommend as a quick tip is for self-care practices, being grateful. And we were talking a little bit about lack of body confidence in women. So being grateful for things that your body does for you on a regular basis will really help to bring up your self-esteem and your confidence. You're not going to be doing all those comparisons or thinking, oh, you know, I look horrible and fat today or whatever it might be. Just practicing gratitude on a regular basis.
Okay. Now, I know in the States we have a commercial. I don't even know what the commercial is about, you know, what they're promoting, but it's about buying a pair of jeans. And you know as well as I do that either jeans or bathing suits are the worst experience for women.
Mm-hmm.
And what this commercial does is it takes away the sizes of your pants, and it puts in things like strong and amazing and confident and whatever. And so women come in and they look for their jeans, and they say there's no sizes. And somebody will come with a tape measure and measure them and go, oh, you are strong. Oh, you are confident. And all of a sudden, you can see how women walked in to get jeans with their head down, and they're like looking up thinking, wow, this is amazing. What are your thoughts about the companies that are now doing things like that for women?
I've actually seen that commercial, and I think it's fantastic. What a great idea, because we get so hung up on numbers, whether it's the number on the scale, the number in our shirts or in our jeans or whatever, but really all it is a number. And it's really more about how you feel in yourself, which is the great thing about these companies, like Who's Doing That Commercial. Also Dove has a beauty campaign as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about how you feel in your body. So it doesn't matter whether you're a size 0 or a size 12 or a size 20. If you feel good in your body and your health is not at risk, then that's all that should matter.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm loving these new ideas from companies that are really promoting empowering women as opposed to photoshopping somebody who's a size 0 into a negative 10, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes zero sense. Now, I know you have an event that actually begins today, I believe, called the Women's Transformation and Vitality Summit. Can you tell us about it and how we can get involved in it?
Absolutely. So, yeah, it starts today. It's a total online virtual event, so wherever you are, you can participate. It's from today, Monday, December 1st, right up until Friday, December 5th. And I've gathered 12 empowerment experts from across North America to come together and talk about empowering women in body, mind, and spirit. And we're talking about everything from health to relationships, as well as your home, your finances, and your career as well. So every aspect of a woman's life where she might want some transformation, she might want a little bit of a kickstart or some empowerment or some tips on how to manage it all better. So we're getting together. There's about 3 interviews a day. It's totally free to register. You just get the emails with the links to the interviews every day, and you can watch them all week. And each speaker has graciously donated a free gift for everyone as well, so you get access to that too. So it's a really fantastic event to really get to know people who are in the empowerment industry in various sectors, as well as learn some real concrete tips that you can use right now for any of those topic areas I mentioned to really make changes in your life. And to register, it's just www.womenstransformationandvitalitysummit.com.
Okay, and it starts today, and we will make sure that that is all over social media so we can bring you some more attendees.
Wonderful.
Yes. So a question I always like to ask people, if you knew then what you know now, would you have changed anything?
I mean, I would want to say yes, but I think no, because it's led me to this path right from the health issues I have leading me up into my career now and different experiences throughout that time to really feeling empowered and confident in myself. It really did take all of those steps, even though they might have been uncomfortable at the time.
Yeah, I think everything is a lesson for us, and if you don't learn anything from it, it's just a waste of time. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So Chandra was my first guest, and she talked about the financial stability, the lifestyle habits. And you're talking more about the emotional and the physical. So what would you want to leave our listeners with today? Because she gave us some, you know, strategies of how to get yourself basically into a financial routine. More, we took out the word budget. She uses spending plan, which I love that. So
mm-hmm.
What would you want to leave our listeners with to get that portion of all our lifestyle habits on board?
I would say to be aware of your body, whether it's what's happening in your mind, what kind of negative self-talk is going on in your head right now. What have you just compared yourself with or just said that's in a negative tone towards yourself? And then in your body, are there things that aren't feeling right? Are you feeling really sluggish? Are your periods irregular? Are you gaining weight for no good reason? Or do you just want to sleep in bed all the time? Like really making notes, even in a little notebook or whatever, just to be aware of what's happening. And once you track it for a while, it's really helpful when you're trying to make changes to see, oh, you know what? My big thing is that I'm really fatigued and that I'm always hating on my thighs. And these are things that you can change, but that can't happen until you're aware of it.
Yes, and do you realize that the two of you actually did the same thing and said you need to write everything down and then look at it?
It's a great tactic.
Right. Now, isn't that like goal setting? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing is writing things down and taking a look at them and being able to review them? And so, you know, I'm glad you're both on the same page. That always mm-hmm. works for me. Yes. So anything else you want to leave our listeners with today?
Just be patient with yourself. That's the most important thing. Where we lead such busy lives, being patient with yourself is important so that you're not going to overwhelm yourself and get overstressed and unhappy with your life.
Okay. And a personal question. I know that you had a diagnosis of polycystic ovarian syndrome, and I know mm-hmm. that a lot of women have that. Do you think that helped you in your ability to help other clients because you can say, this is what it feels like, this is what I experienced?
Oh, absolutely. Because when you have a disorder, whatever it is, whether it's heart disease or PCOS, it doesn't matter. It often feels very lonely and like no one understands you if you don't know anyone who's been through the same thing. So it can be a great asset for me to be able to relate to women who are experiencing similar symptoms for sure.
Yeah. I always like when I hear somebody teaching people how to sell and they've never sold anything. And that just makes me crazy. So I would think that would be perfect for you.
Mm-hmm.
So how can our listeners connect with you? How can they stay in contact with you? And how could they move forward with you?
They can follow me through any social media. So my website is www.thehormonediva.com. My Twitter is just The Hormone Diva, and on Facebook, I'm The Hormone Diva as well. They can contact me if they have any questions, they need support, whatever it might be that they're feeling. I like to try and offer a really safe and supportive space for women. So they can email me if they have questions at info@thehormonediva.com. And I would really, really recommend that for women listening to this, they go and sign up for that Women's Transformation and Vitality Summit. It's a really great starting point to launch any kind of changes that you might want to make in your life for 2015. And again, that's free registration, and the website for that is www.womenstransformationandvitalitysummit.com.
Awesome. Well, Robin, I want to thank you so much for sharing the mic with me today. I know you'll continue to bring value to women everywhere and look forward to continuing our conversation.
Thank you so much, Judy.
Thank you. And we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to wrap up the show with a few ideas for creating the lifestyle that you envision. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves to the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. So let's wrap up the show with a few simple suggestions to create a lifestyle that will work for you and your family. Number one, dream big but start small. You can have all the vision and all the dreams that you want, but when they're too big, you tend to throw your hands up and decide you're too overwhelmed. So start small and those habits become second nature. If your goal is to be healthy, instead of sitting on the couch and watching the news, get on the treadmill and watch the news. A little bit every day attaches your goals to your habits, and the result, second nature, and your health benefits. Now for me, when I wanted to start my walking program, I would go to sleep with my walking clothes on, everything but my shoes, so when I woke up, there was no reason not to get out there and walk. After a month, I had my habit of walking ingrained, and I couldn't imagine not doing it. Second, focus on lifestyle, not life-changing. We all want to make life-changing transformations, but sometimes it's not realistic. Wanting to save $1 million in your retirement fund would be life-changing, but depositing $100 a week into an account would be lifestyle. Wanting to lose 50 pounds would be life-changing, but removing soda from your diet would be lifestyle. For me, I took the first step for my future and opened a SEP IRA. At first, my contributions were small, but those increased as my income did. Lifestyle, not life-changing methods, worked for me. And third, decide what you're passionate about and take the first step towards creating that. Not everyone's like me and jumps off the ledge with no parachute. But here's what I did before that happened. Every time I received a paycheck from the position I was leaving, I would earmark it in my checking account as investment into my business. This way, I changed my mindset and I wasn't miserable all the time. My life was going to change. It isn't always on the same clock that I had. The results for me were amazing. I became the voice for women in business and sales and encouraged them and continue to encourage them to use their inherent feminine qualities to reach the success and lifestyle that suits them. Now, you can check out some of the information I share with my clients on sellinginaskirt.com. Now, I thank you all every single Monday for joining me at noon central, where we share some extraordinary guests, some ideas for your business, and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. Make sure you stay connected with us, and remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.